Remix. Rewind.
This is the remix.
No, this is the rewind.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Jada Kalise.
It's the one and only Jasmine J.
And this is
Remix and Rewind.
And if you're new here, this is the place where we introduce you to new music, artists, theories, and ways to connect your real life to the music you listen to.
And today is a special episode because not only is it Women's History Month, but we also have a special guest joining us. We're joined by...
Hey, y'all. I'm Liza. What's up?
So we've got an all-woman lineup today, which makes this conversation even more special.
So for this episode, we're taking it back to the women in music who really shaped us, the ones who influenced how we see music, confidence, creativity, and even ourselves. So, Liza, do you want to start with your artists?
I sure can. So for me, y'all, background, I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So I grew up listening to Trina a lot. And, you know, with Trina, she helped me become so confident in myself, confident in what I do, how I walk, how I talk, how I look. And also, she gave us the rules on how to do these men when it come to, you know, when it comes to pursuing me. I need that cheat. I need that money. The second one, though, the second artist that has shaped me for real, is Jill Scott.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I used to be a hard something, okay? Like, you couldn't... I used to be so mean. I like really. So, you know, listening to Jill Scott, she kind of put me in such a soft space. Now, like, although I'm still a little mean to these men, it's not just straight boy, get out of my face. You can still talk to me, but like, I don't BS.
I'm
about my business, and that's what I like. That's the vibe I get off Jill Scott. Mm-hmm. You can talk to me, but if you ain't like about your business,
right?
If you're not talking my face.
If you're not talking about what I want to hear,
exactly. Same with Trina. If you're not talking about what I want to hear, get up out my face.
That's real. That's real.
Thank you.
Jasmine, what about you?
So the artist I chose three. So my first one I'd say is Amy Winehouse, because I feel like she's like my first introduction to women in music. I mean, her, Beyonce, and Rihanna, but like Amy Winehouse is the one I remember the most and I continuously go back and listen to, because she reminds me of like an era of being young and like sitting in the back of my mom's car and hearing, yes, you know, Back to Black or Rehab. And I also love that she was very like distinctive during her time. Like, she really made, even though she was influenced by obviously 1950s and 60s, like Motown and the Ronettes and stuff. During that time, I mean, who was doing it like her? Like, she did her own thing, and I love that about her. And then my second one, y'all, this is gonna be kind of random, but not really. Willow Smith. That girl, like, I don't know why, but especially when I was young, because I grew up in predominantly white spaces, she was like the epitome of like Black girl who is like alternative, but like kind of doing her, like, she was very much like a Black girl who was confident in being Black, and she loved being Black, and she was unique. And, you know, I remember listening to 21st Century Girl on the way to the family reunion. Like, I just remember like hearing her music and being like, oh, like, I love being a Black girl. Like, she just embodied that. And even with my hair too, I used to be on Dance Central whipping my hair, like the choreography ate on that dance. Like,
if Willow was actually so cool to me. Like, yeah, looking back, literally, at her childhood, I know that's like not, she didn't want to go like too much of the pop route. Mm-hmm. I remember, I don't know if it was an article or an interview or something, but I think she was kind of pushed into it from her family.
Yeah,
but like, she ended up finding her own lane, and I really do commend her for that, because she's way more successful doing what she was doing now than what she was doing when she was younger.
Yeah. And even the way she like styled her hair, like with the little mohawk, like the queens wanted a mohawk. Like, mom said, no, you can't shave this out of your head.
This is what the fans want to see, a mohawk.
Yes. Especially in that era. I don't know why. Like, I feel like a mohawk on a Black girl was like big. It was, ooh, like, we all wanted a mohawk so bad. Like, she ate that up. And even the way she like styled herself, like, I just loved her at that time. And then my last one, I'll probably say, is Olivia Dean. And even though she's like a recent obsession, I just love Black women being able to show different sides of themselves, and I feel like she's very like soft and feminine, and I feel like she's very cutesy, and I love when Black women get to do that, because I feel like a lot of times in music we're not afforded the luxury of doing that. If we are in that space, we're quickly kind of changed into something else, if that, yeah, makes sense. So I love Olivia Dean. I think she's very T, and yeah,
period.
What about yours, Jada?
I'm gonna start with Beyonce, of course. I feel like Beyonce was one of the first, if not the first, Black females that I seen in a space where I was like, oh my gosh, like, I could probably be this. I could do this if I wanted to.
What's
like
that I say, Beyonce?
Yes, like, she was just so T to me, and she will forever be T to me. Like, her work ethic, her discipline, seeing or watching the Beychella documentary, it, mm-hmm, really did that for me. Like, before, I was like, I know she works hard, but to see it in real time, to
play,
see her go on that diet, to see her bounce back from them twins, to see her bounce back from the hate, it's just just, it's so admirable because all these people are judging you and they don't even know you. They saying that you didn't even carry your own child and you still performing, you still selling out shows, and it just seems like you rub it off your shoulder.
And I said she was an Illuminati.
Yes, they made up so many things about her. But to just see her in her element in that documentary, it was very, very admirable. And it was actually very inspiring because it's like, if you want to do something, you're going to do it. You're going to make sure you can do anything to do it. She wanted to get in that costume. She got in that costume. She hated it, but she got in that costume.
Well, I kind of want to piggyback off that. What kind of like set the standard for me and Beyonce? Because I'm an old head. I'm 21, but I'm an old head. I used to sit in front of our family desktop and like watch the BET award shows, and to see how she shut that stage down every time to the point where I think Monique hosted, I think, 2004 BET awards, and she did a whole tribute to her and she shut it down. That let me know that like Beyonce set the standard for all black women when it come to
performing getting on that stage,
work like, ethic, all of that, because that let us know that that's one woman that will show out for all of us, even for those who can't show out. So definitely
very commendable. My second one is going to have to be Megan Thee Stallion. I think I really got into her during like the COVID year, probably, or the year after that, because that's when she was really blowing up for real. But to see everything that she's overcome these past few years, and to see that she's very bold in loving herself, very unapologetic about her self-love, and seeing where she's at with her relationship with men now as well, I love Megan Thee Stallion. Nobody could ever make me hate her.
I love her.
She is so for the girls, for the girls, for the girls.
Yeah.
She's never been male-centered from what I've seen. I don't know her personally, but from what I've seen, she's never been male-centered. And I feel like with everything that came with the Tory Lanez shooting and everybody, the entire industry damn near turning their back on her, I just feel like, dang, you really rebranded. You got your reputation back up and everything is coming back to you tenfold.
Yeah.
Tenfold.
And I love her little relationship with Clay. I'm sorry,
they're so cute to me.
And also going back to being male-centered, I feel like even with Meg, like she'd be like, my man, but she's never like doing that in spite of women or being like, you know, my man is also your man. Like, you know, it never gave that with Meg. And I feel like I really admire that in her. Like, I love her because of that.
And then for my final female artist, I also have Ariana Grande. Now, I feel like Ariana Grande has got me through a lot of things. Like, seriously, being in high school, I used to listen to her all the time. I still do. And just like my love for Meg, my love for Ariana comes from everything that she's went through as well, and to see how she's overcome that, but also how she's really evolved a lot since she came out, since being that girl on Nickelodeon or being that girl on Broadway. Like, she's finding her way back to what she really loves. And to see that after everything that she's been through, you know, with the Manchester bombing, losing Mac Miller, and, you know, all of her love life situations, like, she still comes out on the other side just like Megan. Mm-hmm. Everything coming back to you tenfold. So she's very, very inspiring for me, and her music speaks to me as well. Like, granted, she may have a couple of songs where, you know, they're a little, you know, break up with your girlfriend, I'm bored.
Yeah,
cool,
girl, that ain't.
But that ain't it. I don't like that one. But songs like Successful, where she's literally speaking to you and pouring into you, and it's like, it feels so good to be so young and have this fun and be successful. That speaks to me. I'm gonna manifest. I'm going to be successful just by listening to that. So yeah, those are my three.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge fan of Ariana Grande, but I will say her era, like growing up, I don't even know what era that is, but like Side to Side, Problem, Fancy, ooh, that era, I did not, that woman could not get off the radio. Like, I just remember hearing her all the time.
She stayed on 99 Jams.
Yes,
like, oh my gosh, girl.
Stayed on the radio. And I loved her music. And I still love her music. Nobody can say that she's not a good artist. Like, you cannot like Ariana Grande the person. Her music stands for itself. Like, she's, and I also love that she's able to constantly change her music. Like, the music she's doing now is different than that era of music. And I also love that she's constantly, even though people, you know, talk about she's like very influenced by the people around her, I do like the way that shows up in her music, especially like during her like Victoria Monet era. Like, I love her music during that time. But yeah.
Yeah. She, to me, is very evident that she can adapt in whatever environment that it is.
Yeah.
You know, because Leon Thomas wrote a couple songs for her. Victoria wrote a couple songs for her. So I know being with them, it's like, okay, let me lean into this R&B sound, which she does great.
She does.
And I really wish she would give us an all R&B album.
Same.
But that's a conversation for another day. But she's very adaptable to whatever environment she's in. And like you said, it definitely shows up in her music.
Yeah.
See, I don't listen to her. I'm sorry. I don't listen to Ariana Grande. I'm, again, auntie old head.
That's real.
I cut Key Sweat on real quick.
Oh my gosh. You really are old, like.
If I'm
even
if
the pigs.
Like, if I'm really feeling in that mood, I'm cutting plies on. But like, I don't.
Plies is crazy. Yes. These pools are like plies is so crazy because I feel like he's so vulgar.
He is so vulgar, but that's what I can love. I love all the vulgarity coming from people, and it may sound so crazy.
It do.
It may sound so crazy, but with plies, he rapping about a lot of street stuff. I like trap music. Mm-hmm. I like the beat. I like the wordplay, especially Jeezy. Oh yeah. I love Jeezy. Mm. We talking about men right now. We about to get back on topic, right. But it's just all about the trap. And I use the trap music as affirmation songs because they're all about getting money. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get paid. Okay, so
you real.
I also love how all of our artists kind of represent aspects of ourselves, because she talked about she likes artists that are really standing on business and really respecting themselves. And I feel like I talked about artists that are about embracing different aspects of femininity and what that looks like for different women and how they can show that. And then you talked about artists that you felt really respected themselves while also respecting the women around them. So I feel like we all. I love our little mix up of women we chose.
But now that we've talked about women who empower us, let's be real and let's be very, very honest right now. Not every woman in the music industry gives that same energy. So my question to y'all is, are there any women artists that y'all feel don't really contribute to women's confidence or take women's confidence away?
Well, there's plenty. I'll start with Sexy Red. I don't
Clock
care
that.
What nobody says.
That's
okay.
A CIA plant.
I agree. Because there's literally no way. There's literally no way. And it's people are oh, well, her music makes me feel hype. But it's what is she singing about for real, for real? What are we actually talking about? And then also just the things she's saying, it's girl, shut that down.
You wanna hang with a baby? Hello?
I'm never getting over...
Her lip gloss brand. Let me just talk about
I forgot about
but
that.
But also my blank, blank pink and my blank, blank, blank brown.
Yeah.
I'm never getting over that.
We didn't ask.
This is what this generation is seeing. This is what we're yelling at the top of
this
our lungs.
The babies is yelling.
The babies
are singing this, and this is what we're okay with the baby singing. I don't know. The CIA is rubbing their hands like Birdman right now.
Yeah. I don't like that.
For me, an artist that I feel like isn't really contributing to the well-being of women, Summer Walker. That's a bird that's on the ground, and I don't feel because with the music she make, it'd be like, girl, but you do know that this is your fault, right? I've never been a fan of pushing out babies and raising them in a broken home, so that's already a red flag for me right there. You have, I don't know how many kids you got, but they all come from different men. I can't get with that.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I don't. But it's just you're rapping about all this bird brain stuff, and you got these women thinking that it's okay to be a bird. Singing about all this bird brain stuff. I've never really been a fan of bird brains.
Yeah, bird brain music.
Me neither.
It also influences how women, a whole generation. I don't think people realize how influential music is.
It influences people's date lives.
Yeah.
It influences how women see men and how men see women and how women see relationships and how men see relationships.
Yes.
I'm so glad you just said this.
And so it's just what happened to the 435 frequency music? When that music is in that frequency, people was in love, okay?
Yeah.
Everything is too high or it's too low. I can't take it.
I'm so glad you just said that, because I do believe she had a limited series podcast or something, and I forget who the guest was on the episode, but she basically was just saying all men cheat, all men cheat, all men cheat.
And it's
you're contributing to this idea where women women hate men, and the women that listen to your music or who follow up with you, they're going to go into their relationships. Now, granted, we all grown. We shouldn't be this influenced.
Yeah, exactly.
We shouldn't be this influenced.
If you this easily moved, you got to go ahead and do some therapy.
Right.
We
shouldn't be this easily influenced, but you have those women who listen to you and who follow you going into these relationships, self-sabotaging themselves because of what they heard from you. And it seems that shouldn't be your responsibility, but
it is.
You're a celebrity.
You're a public figure now.
You're
no longer a janitor.
Yeah.
Summer Walker,
you're no longer just Summer Walker. You are Summer Walker, the R&B singer.
Yes. With albums.
Yeah.
Making money.
And it's also not just her. I understand if it was one artist saying this stuff,
Janae Aiko, Mariah the Scientist. Oh my gosh, I'm getting irritated.
Okay, for me, with my Mariah situation, I don't feel like it reflects in her music.
Mm-hmm.
I think her music is very heartbroken, and it's not necessarily placing blame on a man, but I will say her outside actions. Absolutely, bird brain activity. Absolutely. You come in these songs crying about how this man broke your heart, yet you said yes to a proposal on stage at your tour.
Where a man yanked you by your hand.
Mind you, we've seen the video footage of him saying that you love him too much to his homeboy.
Oh, and you on the and we also seen the footage of you. Dada, am I your baby girl? Don't
pay. No, that was my last straw. And then let's not
forget his ex was on his prison wall.
Oh,
in his cell.
And didn't she laugh when he was talking about Glorilla being ugly?
Yes.
That's not very uplifting.
She most definitely entertained it.
Because to me, I am a woman, but if I was her and my man was like, oh, this person not, because aren't they friends? Weren't they supposed to be? Didn't they have a song together?
I'm picking the phone up. Like, my friend ugly dude.
I was like, excuse, you're literally giggling.
She was giggling, talking about something. Yeah, they said she looked like Rihanna. Why are you entertaining this?
Why are you entertaining this, Mariah? And we're laughing at you, girl.
Yeah.
Just goofy all around.
And that's just
goofball.
And even if her music doesn't reflect it, I feel like all these women with all these heartbroken, all y'all always like, you know, this man's always doing you wrong. At what point are you the problem? Like, at this point, you're always heartbroken.
And that's real.
The heart stay broke. And it's like, baby, at some point, you're contributing.
You have to get therapy. Like,
and that's why women, like, especially now, think that toxic love is like the new thing. Oh, like, that's not cute. Oh, I don't think anyone should be striving for that. And even though we're talking about like people shouldn't be influenced, people are, unfortunately. Like, we live in especially now, a very media centric world. Mm-hmm. So when you're constantly singing about or making music about basically men
men treat you terribly, you're like, you doing men wrong. That's giving these young women the idea to do these men wrong or let that man treat them terribly because it's money on the line. I don't give a darn how much money is on the line. If a man is doing me like dirt on the floor, I got to go. Yeah. I see you. I see you around. Not even, because you're going to hell. So,
but that's so real, though. It really does get to a point where it's like, how long are you going to take this just to make music about it?
Oh, you think they're doing it so they can make music about it? I think they're just doing it in the music. Just
what are you doing?
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't put it past them because it's just like, people are so performative, too.
Very performative.
Yeah.
People are so performative. And it gets to a point. Like, when are y'all, again, like we said, when are you going to take accountability and realize that I might just be the issue when it comes to relationships? Because personally, me, I know I had to step back and realize I'm the issue.
Right.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe I got to go get therapy. And that's what I did. I went to go get therapy. So it's all about like what's being pushed out to the media, because kids also pick up on stuff very quickly.
Yeah, and early. They're very impressionable.
And when you're very impressionable as a child, you carry that on with you.
Yeah.
If you don't have nobody in your ear telling you, baby, that's wrong. You ain't supposed to. You carry that on with you. And that's like why, like, I don't feel like, you know, children should be listening to anything that's released today.
Yeah.
But this is my thing. They really don't have nothing to listen to.
Too. Because we had a whole episode about how there's no music for kids.
Gracie's Corner.
There's no. But what about when I turn 14? What am I supposed to listen to then?
Oh, I.
Gracie's Corner ain't finna be there forever.
That's real. Because when I turned 14, I was listening to Trina. So
yeah, like people
really when I was six, and that's an issue, and that's really an issue. Like,
and also going back, I feel like that's why I liked Willow Smith, because she was a
kid appropriate. Like, we know, like, coming up, we had Baby Kaylee, we had Willow,
Mindless Behavior, even though it's not
we had Mindless Behavior, we had OMG Girls, we had all these tween groups and artists out. All these kids got his content creators and stream.
Yeah,
and so they're Twitch people,
especially because now, like, you know, adults and kids are on the same platforms, which is already like
a little crazy. You got kids and adults living in the same house streaming,
watching the same TikToks, like, or whatever, and so they're consuming the same music. And so when you're feeding back to, you know, Mariah the Scientist and Jhené Aiko and all them, like, when you're feeding the kids this idea, I remember seeing a news thing about, like, this little girl had like this boyfriend like in elementary school, and she's like arguing with him, but like that's like something that's taught.
And it's just like, I feel like I know what you're talking about. I see the post on social media where within the messages, it was a girl that was in grade school talking about being a side piece. And,
huh?
Yes!
I didn't see that.
I'll have to find a post. When I like when I seen that post, I'm like, this is what they're listening to.
Yeah.
This is what they're hearing their parents chat about. This is what they're hearing their big cousin, their big sisters chat about. All of that. So when it comes to like music and what's being pushed out, I'm very cautious about what I play around children. When I go DJ at these events, if I'm DJing, I'm finding the clean version.
Right.
I don't want you repeating that word that they saying in that song. That's not for you to say. But yeah, like it's just all about the way that the media is consumed now. Because back in the day, it was a little, you know, discretion put upon these videos.
Yeah.
To the point where like you couldn't even like too much watch some music videos on Comcast. I don't know if y'all had Comcast. Mm-hmm. You know, we had that music channel and everything. And with, you know, Centric, TV Centric and, you know, MTV. So when they had these music, they wouldn't thereby put that Nelly song Tip Drill got off BET once they realized how bad it was. Like, right. We had certain censorships back in the day, but because all these firms are buying out all these TV companies, I feel like that may play a part in, you know, some of these censorships being lifted. And now kids are being exposed to stuff that they shouldn't be seeing. Yeah.
It's really nobody there for them anymore. Like, the people aren't on Disney Nickelodeon no more. Like, there are no Disney
Live.
Rising stars. There's no Nickelodeon Rising stars who they can grow up with. Yeah. Like how we had Zendaya, and she tapped into her music bag.
She tapped
into her music bag. That's another person I want to talk
and
about.
Bella Thorne.
I loved Zendaya when she was in her music bag. Trust.
Yeah. Yes,
I loved it, and I really wish she like stayed there for a little bit, but like clearly there were bigger things that were more so her calling, modeling and acting and this, that, and the third.
If she would have stayed in that repeat bag, ooh.
But now that I think about it, some of us low-key had Keke Palmer too.
Yeah.
I just had to sit back and think about it for a second because she had a Nickelodeon check and she had a Disney check.
Yeah, and she had an Akilah and the Bee check. See, y'all know about
Keke.
She
had that check and she was doing music on the side too.
Yes, for rags.
The kids don't have that no more.
You know what, y'all, look, I'm just gonna start doing it.
Girl.
But also I think the reason why too is because like I feel like when these like teen stars were transitioning out of Disney, they needed something to transition out of, like, so they went to music, whereas like stars that like Disney stars now, which I don't even know, like, I mean, I guess there's people on
Brenda Carpenter, my girl,
she was like the last one. Her
yeah,
and
she was probably
Rodriguez
like the last one. But the rest of like now they just like transition to social media. They don't have to have no
right,
talent,
because River Simone was even doing music before she got on TV, and like even when she was on TV she was still doing music.
Have you ever seen that clip of her on 106 in Park? She asked like the audience about music. She's like, oh, I don't make no music because y'all don't listen to it.
No,
y'all never seen that.
Stop.
No, she's funny though.
Four, like,
she's actually funny though.
She had said something along those lines, but it's funny. And then everybody's like, no, like they're like, you know, people like cheering and stuff.
There's a double Dutch bus coming.
Seen a clip where she doesn't even remember that she did that.
Oh.
Like it was her podcast with her wife, I believe. And they read the lyrics. They read the lyrics to her.
I don't like that wife. She got that wife gotta go.
They read the lyrics to her and she could not figure out what the song was for the life of her. She was like, what song is this? Like, who is this?
She's on a college road trip.
Yes, and they were like, Raven, this is you. Like, this is literally you. And she busted out laughing. Like, she had no words. Just busted out laughing.
How she didn't know she wrote that, or did she not write it?
But y'all also think about it. My girl went through a lot of traumatic events.
She did, absolutely. Mm, yeah. So she definitely probably blocked it out.
That, like, some stuff, like, although it's good, you'll still block it out because it may have happened in the time frame in which you were going through those traumatic events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's real.
And even though Raven not technically an artist, her on That's So Raven, another one, like another black woman who shaped my idea of what black women could be. Okay, she was iconic.
We talking about movie stars now, TV stars.
We can do that.
The Parkers, y'all have you ever watched The Parkers?
Yes.
Kim?
You give her so bad.
Like, I resonate with her so much.
You give her so bad.
From her style to how she dressed, she was very vibrant. All she wore was loud colors and how she spoke. And of course, you know her little quirky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. But then in the same sense, I also get my inspiration from her mother because of how she carries herself. Mm-hmm. Very, I wouldn't say very uppity, but like, she still joke around, but at the same time, Nikki knows she's tea. And watching that helped me realize that, like, cause as a girl I was also very plus size, so like being a plus size woman, watching those plus size women on TV,
mm-hmm.
that helped me become so confident. And of course, you know, when that went off and I used to watch the Monique show at night up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I ain't one supposed to be, I gotta go up at 7, but like watching those women on TV helped me become such a confident girl and be confident and let it be loud.
I agree. I would say for me, I used to watch True Jackson VP
down.
I used to watch that show down around. Like,
I love that show.
Kiki style, Kiki being she's, the HBIC for real and having yeah. them hate on her in that industry. It's just like, wow.
I want to be her. I want y'all to hate on me.
Also, we don't really get black women like as main characters on shows mm-hmm. like that. No. Like, that was low-key. That's a Raven, True Jackson. Those were generational resets. Baby, like, we don't even see that no more, y'all.
And like, usually like when black women are the main character, they're always depicted as being loud and yeah. you know, mm-hmm. and like ditzy, like how they did Kim, ditzy and dumb. And it's just like, y'all gonna stop playing with us.
Yeah.
Y'all play with your mother.
No, literally though. And that's why with Insecure, I don't know if y'all watch Insecure.
I couldn't get into it.
Stop. But I know people love it. I feel like it was so real. And at first it was just like, okay, this is a lot. But I feel like it was so real for some people. And to watch, like, okay, maybe this is something that some black women probably do go through. Seeing her relationship or her friendship with Molly, I was like, this is really real. This friendship.
Not gonna watch it.
Yeah, you should. And I feel like I relate to that friendship the most because I did have a friend who I feel like just was always in secret competition with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that's something that black women, probably not even black women for real, all but women probably go through at one point in their life.
Yeah.
You're in secret competition with your supposed best friend.
And it's just like, girl,
But I feel like low-key black women do experience that a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because we don't always have the same, we have this idea that we have to be the only one and that our peers are our competition when in reality they're
trying to get to the same thing. And this is why I'm so grateful that like I'm in a space around people doing the same thing as me.
Yeah.
Who don't mind sharing the knowledge and who don't mind stepping in to help, because people have this mindset of, okay, we do the same thing, we are not gonna be in competition. Mm-hmm. But there's so many opportunities for us as journalists and we doing the same thing and you don't even know because you're so stuck on thinking that I'm finna take your spot. Baby, I don't even wanna do what you wanna do.
Right.
And your hair is small. Bye.
Oh my God. You was aggravated.
I also feel like that's why representation matters so much. Like a lot of people, like especially now, people love to be like you know, I'm not even gonna get into that, but like people love to like question representation in shows, but it matters because that's what reflects how we view ourselves.
That's what give people confidence.
Yeah.
Girl, that girl is just my auntie. I'm gonna keep watching the show, and over time these young women come up.
Yeah, like I remember watching like Sister, like the shows I watched growing up were so, they were black women who just like lived struggle-free lives, like they were just living regular middle, and I feel like now we don't really see shows like that. I can't even think of a show that has like a black girl. I know I said that earlier, but I'm trying to think of a show that has like a black girl main character who's not struggling.
There isn't one, but I do want to talk about Being Mary Jane. Now I was very late to the party. My mom was trying to get me to watch it for years, and I just started watching it last year. I think I'm probably in the last season now, but she had the looks, she had the successful life, the money. But she was struggling so bad with her family. Like, she was struggling so bad. I'm just like, why do we need to see this?
Yeah.
Why can't we just have the successful news anchor, the successful black news anchor with the money and the successful life? Why can't we just see her shop?
Yeah.
Have a good relationship with her best friends. Why do we have to see that she's struggling
with
men?
Same with girlfriends.
Everybody
was struggling. I'm just like, look, y'all. I'm tired of seeing my sister struggle on the air.
Can we have at least one good season?
Like right now, the Miss Pat show, it's all about, you know, her struggles coming up and, you know, how everything is just coming back to her. And it's just like, we don't want to see, I love Miss Pat, but I don't want to see black women depict their trauma on TV, because people take that and they make that the stereotype for all black.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Heavy on the stereotype. Yeah, and even like the whole like strong black woman stereotype.
I'm tired.
Never been that strong, actually. So
y'all know that pain of that lady in that white dress when she got her head down.
Yes,
like, that's me. That every morning, because like I'm tired of being strong, because putting that strong black woman label on black women disregards the need for mental health.
Yeah.
Help.
And protection.
Help. Right. The need for help with mental health plus protection. I'm strong because you physically see me battle a death. You don't even know what you don't even know what I got going on upstairs.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, so it's so crazy how they like to put that title on black women and not ask them, okay, well, what makes you strong? So y'all can understand that don't nothing make me strong, baby. I'm tired.
And I also want people to know, like, It's not a compliment. It's not a compliment anymore.
Oh, you're so strong, baby. It's never been a compliment.
I don't know how you handled that. I couldn't do that. Okay.
Do you need that?
Like,
and also I feel like that. A lot of times we're strong because we are forced to be strong. Not because we want to be strong. So being like, oh, well, you're just so strong. Well, I don't want to be strong, but you're giving me another option to be strong, I guess.
A lot of us were placed in adult positions at such young ages. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, looking at my mom at 6, I kind of had to step up to the play and kind of take care of myself, but it's just like, y'all, I'm 6 and not 26. I gotta have somebody care for me. But although the care was there, you're still stuck with raising yourself, and it's so crazy. So like, trying to slap on that strong black woman label just disregards all of what you went through to get to the point that you're in right now. And I hate that. I hate how they label us as strong black women and not ask us, okay, forget the strongness, are you straight?
Yeah.
Are you good?
And that brings up another point for me, how black girls are viewed as fast in so many ways, but
the black men aren't.
We're viewed as fast in so many ways, but when it comes to handling things we shouldn't be handling at the age that we're handling at, it's not fast then.
Yeah.
Hello, you're so strong. Wake that up.
You're so strong.
Mind you, I'm 6 years old.
You handled that so well.
What can I do?
I'm confused.
The people around me don't know how to grieve with death either. We all just sitting here trying to figure out.
My hairstyle fast, but my emotions not.
I got on red nail polish and I'm fast, but me telling you that someone touched me is it?
My outfit fast, but my emotions aren't.
Hello?
Right.
Clock that T.
I also think it's the whole thing of like black, even I remember hearing strong black woman as a girl. I'm not no woman. Baby, I feel like there's this like womanification of black girls. Why don't we get to be in girlhood and
we are
be
7.
Girls?
They think that we're trying to grow ourselves up so fast. No, we're trying to.
Y'all. Yeah, exactly.
Y'all are aging me.
I'm trying to sit here and do me a nice little natural beat with my little Play Store makeup.
Fake makeup.
Yeah.
But that's fast.
This thing gonna break me out in like 5 seconds. But that's fast because you like to put on makeup and go to the club every Friday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the club. I'm going to my homegirl house across the hallway.
Yeah.
In my plastic princess shoes. In my princess tutu.
With my Kool-Aid packet purse. But what the heck? Like I'm not going to the club. Yeah. So like whenever they did stuff like that, I'm like, y'all have to really take a step back and hear yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like you grew up riding that little yellow bus to the schoolhouse.
But it also comes from their trauma. I think black women, because it'd be like black parents, black moms projecting this onto young kids, black dads, whoever.
So it's generational.
It's generational. And I feel like that trauma keeps getting pushed down because we're constantly feeling like we have to over-police black women to protect them from what's going on instead of being like these outside factors. You know how like I've seen videos of like black girls being like 14, their parents got them in and what's some barrettes and long skirts. That's not going to protect them from anything.
That's not going to protect them, baby. That's going to piss them off because it's pissing me off. Why are you 14 with barrettes? Like, it's like, and I don't want to be like that person to be in no parents' business when it come to that, but like, baby, I am 14. I'm finna go to high school. You're opening that portal for your child to get bullied.
You don't
even know. And hold on, let's wake that up too. Don't know little boy's supposed to hit no little girl. And you tell that little girl, oh yeah, he like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that boys are mean to you because they like you. Because
then that little girl grew up thinking that, okay, this man hitting on me, he calling me all things but a child of God. Oh, he like me. No, he don't. He actually hates you.
And that's why they grow up to make music about men being treating them terribly. And it's like, but I still love him.
Bird brain.
And now that we circle back to that, back to the music,
right,
which is what Remix and Rewind is all about.
<Clock that. laughs>
I now want to pose our weekly playlist question. What songs by women are your go-to pick-me-ups?
Great, I got 3.
Go ahead.
So my first song is Don't Trust No by Kaya, and that's my pick-me-up song because I was going through a really, really bad breakup recently, and at first I was a little sad. I was like, dang, he really did that to me. But like, give me like 2 hours, I'm like, dang, he really just missed out on a bad. And so like with that song, it kind of brings me back to myself and helped me realize that like, you don't need no man, girl. He missed out. You did. He broke you up. Mm-hmm. And only that, like I said, that beat thumping. Dun, 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 huh? Dun. What? Run it back. The second song is Queen Pen, A Party in a Party. I will never forget. I was going through a really, really depressive episode. And I'm just like, dog, I gotta have something to pick me up right quick. I shuffle my playlist and that comes on and that instantly got me up. And so with that song, it's a very upbeat song. And it's just talking about, you know, a party in the party unless the crew all in it. You feel me? So that definitely woke me up and helped me realize, like, a party in a party unless the queen is in the party. And the queen got to get herself together to be in that party.
Period.
So we gonna get right. And then my third song, Erykah Badu, Next Lifetime. I like that song because that song's definitely a me person. Like, if I can't really mess with you right now, like, I got all this going on. Next Lifetime, if you still here.
You just aggravated me so bad because at first I wasn't listening to that song for real, but when I really sat down and listened to what she was saying.
Now what am I supposed to do when I want you in my world? Want you in my world? How can I for myself when I'm already somebody's girl?
Oh, well, yeah. I just learned that today. I didn't know that was the lyrics.
Exactly.
Your energy.
And I'm gonna clean it.
No more singing, Liza, please. I done got her started.
But like, no, like that song, it's a real song to me. Like, I know if I can't really get to you right now because I'm involved with somebody else, but I need that. I'm gonna hit you up next lifetime.
I wish y'all could see my face right now. But period, like, pick me up.
But I feel like she was being a little faithful by that time. Like, all right, like, you know, I can't really mess with you because I got a little situation going on. If you hear like the commentary part in the beginning of the song, but my girl said, you know, you put me in a really uncomfortable situation.
Jasmine.
Okay. My top three. So I'm going to say Be My Baby by the Ronettes. Because I was talking about Amy Winehouse and how she was influenced by the Ronettes. I like the Ronettes. I like the Supremes. I like that era of music. So Be My Baby. I feel like that's just a really cute song. Because, yes, Be My Baby. Like, that's real cute. And then With My Hair, because I said Willow. And that's a song that every era of Jasmine has listened to. That's still on my little throwbacks playlist. I still be whipping my hair because, period, whip it. And then last would be Formation by Beyonce, because I feel like that's the ultimate clapback song. Like, she really just bodied that song. And also, yeah, let's get information. Like, I just feel like she really, like, that's such a, like, if you really are upset about something, you're really like trying to, like, you know, like, hype yourself up, that's that song.
That's low-key a manifestation song too.
Yeah,
I see it, I want it.
Yeah,
that's low-key manifestation song too. That was a good one, Jasmine. Yeah. For me, I'm gonna say Get Well Soon by Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Ultimate pick me up. Like, that got me through some things. I hope I never said that song before because I low-key have a feeling that I did, but it's okay. We're going to put it on there again.
Like, it's a bop. It got to be said.
Yeah. Bigger in Texas by Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes.
Because she really was at the top of her game when the song came out.
I'm at the top of my game.
I'm Who They Hate. Yes. I love that song, Love Megan Down. And then another pick-me-up I would have to say is As I Am by Her.
Oh, I love that song. I love Her. I don't know why I didn't mention her. I love Her. She's great.
I just...
Baddie.
Because Take Me As I Am.
No Mary J. Blige.
Like, yeah, no Mary J. Blige. Love Mary J., but no Mary J. Blige when I'm talking about Take Me As I Am. Okay. So that's it for today's episode of Remix and Rewind. Today we talked about the women in music who shaped us, from their influence and impact to the ways that they've inspired how we see ourselves, our confidence, and our creativity, as well as women in the movie and film industry or TV industry. We talked about them too. We kind of
went all over the place.
Yeah, we had a lot of topics today.
We also talked about the women who are less empowering in music and the songs by female artists that serve as pick-me-ups for us. We want to hear from y'all too. Who are some of the women in music who influence you? Tap in with us on Instagram at @RemixRewind and let us know what you think.
And we both want to thank Liza for coming on our podcast today
as a special guest. Our first.
Our very first. Appearance.
The first. Yes. I got it. Look, I'm setting a standard. Right. If you want to come out here, you got to know your stuff.
Exactly.
I do want to say you gave us a lot to talk about. You gave us a lot to think about, a lot for us to piggyback off of. And we're very appreciative of you being on this episode.
I'm going to be back again, y'all. Like, first of all, I appreciate y'all for having me.
Of course.
Aw, thanks.
So hopefully we inspired you to take a deeper listen to the music you already love, or maybe discover some new favorites along the way. And that was Remix and Rewind. Remix and Rewind is produced in the studio of WANM-FM 90.5 School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.